time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is home.
Okay, we're back once again. And what's it doing outside? Anything? It was raining earlier, but it's kind of warm and will stay that way for a few days, probably until the weekend. Well, we're almost to the weekend now, aren't we? But let's hope we don't get a heavy snow and freezing rain and things like that. Now, speaking of things like that, can you tell me when the last time it was that Marion was really seriously flooded? It was in the 19... Well, I won't tell you. You might know offhand. When was Marion seriously flooded? The last time. Now, there was another time before that, and another time before that. And we don't even have a river. But... And I heard, it was probably just a rumor. I don't know. I have no way of verifying different things like that. But a lady told me that Mr. Harding's dad, Warren G. Harding's dad, who was a physician of sort, came to her house in a rowboat and delivered her baby. Wouldn't it be interesting to know if that was true and here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Would that be in 1973?
I don't recall. Let me think. 1973.
Everything was flooded.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. There was.
I remember my son was about 10 years old, and he was born in 83.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know there was one in 1987. That might be it. My daughters were in that flood. They had to be rescued from a home. Yeah, and Lynn Lovell was the man that gathered them under his arms and brought him out of the water.
Well, there was kids on rubber rafts going down my street.
Oh, boy. Wow. Well, you know, and it's interesting because Marion doesn't have a river. We're flooded because we can't get the water out of town fast enough.
Yeah.
But I remember in 87, because I had been flying back from Benton Harbor, Michigan. I was with on a public relations tour with Whirlpool. And I kept looking out of the plane window and seeing, well, first of all, I looked at the plane's radar, and it was solid red. And I thought, oh, boy. Now, I looked out the window, and here it looked like Marion was nothing but a lake. Oh,
mm-hmm.
1987, yeah. And all those furniture was destroyed, you know, down there in Oakland, or not Oakland Heights, but in the other end of town.
Oh, mm-hmm.
That was something. Did you lose much yourself?
No.
Well, that's good.
I didn't have a basement.
Oh, that, yeah. Well, I used to live on North Prospect Street. And whenever it rained a half an inch an hour, my basement flooded with everything that was in the sewers in that end of town. I'll never forget that. Boy. Okay, well, thanks for your call.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, yeah. Do you remember 1987, that flood? Yeah. My mother-in-law lived on Forest Lawn Boulevard. And, or Forest Lawn Drive. And she always worried about her basement flooding. And so she had a pipe put in, or her outlet of her drain, into the kukwa with a flapper on it where it wouldn't back, you know, the water wouldn't go back, it'd just go out. Well, that didn't really work. And all of her worries came about when her basement flooded. Clear up, that was 87, clear up to the first floor. Oh, that's where my two girls at that time, Amy and Angie, they were staying there. Oh, my. And that was something. Okay, yeah, flooding is a thing. And let's hope we don't have any more in Marion. Obviously, we will sometime or another. Because we've had, you know, 1913. Now, none of you would remember that particular flood, but that was the one that supposedly Mr. Harding's dad, or Warren G's dad, delivered that baby in a rowboat. Wow. There's another story, and I don't know if it's true or not. But the lady that told me the story seemed like she was a fairly normal person, that when John Dillinger was in Marion, and I can't remember the year, he brought with her, or with him, he brought a lady, you know, the famous lady in red, and she told me that Dillinger used to go to her dad's, and that's why I wonder, her dad's photography studio and have film developed there. And I asked her, well, what was on the film? She said, pictures of beautiful homes in Marion. And I'm just still wondering whether she was dreaming all this or whatever. But she said that Dillinger would put her on his lap while waiting for those pictures to be developed. And then another man who I would trust as a true story was the driver for Dillinger. And Dillinger stayed at the Harding Hotel. It wasn't there, probably not too long. But the driver told me that they were tipped off that the police were going to raid the Harding Hotel. And so Dillinger hightailed it away from Marion rather quickly. And that information came from his driver to me. Well, I've heard a lot of stories over the time, and sometimes you wonder how many of them were really true. But there is another, and it might have been published, and I've told it here before, a young lady who was pregnant at the time was walking into Marion from the farm where she lived, and her husband was a violent person. And she got out of her house just to get away from him while she went shopping, of course, in a little wicker basket. And she had her baby in there. And her husband, finding out she was missing, took off after her to find her. Well, he found her and shot her, killed her. And that was quite a story. He was eventually found. He escaped. And that would have been right in front of where WMRN is now. And he ran through the fields, but they finally got him. All that could be, you know, if we could go back to the Marion Star. And now, other things that were told to me that were true, also was the book that Phil Reed wrote about the strange killing in Marion in 1919, and that is well documented in the newspaper stories too. But a lady was killed. She had been in Bucyrus attending a funeral of one of my relatives, and she was walking down the street she lived on. Or is it Scranton? Was it Scranton Avenue? Somewhere out in there. And she was killed. Shot, I don't know, apparently shot. And they searched for the killer. And they found a black person they just swore would have been the person. And they sent him to Mount Gilead and put him in jail over there safely. While, and back here, well, this is all contained in Phil Reed's book. I won't tell you the gist of it. You have to get his book. But he's got the whole story in his book. And it's hard to believe that anything like that could happen to Marion. And so you'd have to read it to know what I'm talking about. Okay, 11:23 is the time, and it's going to be kind of a warm weekend, interspersed with a lot of rain, and maybe an inch or two. And where does your rain go? Oh, boy. The old Kuqua Ditch takes its... Now, here, back in the early times of Marion, there was a King Kuqua. And I can't remember the years, but I saw it in the history book. Was it in Howell's History of Ohio? But it was either that or the a book published by the Ohio or the Marion County Historical Society with this kind of a gala event in which they crowned King Kuqua in the Kuqua Ditch. Now, wouldn't that be interesting to have happen again, a King Kuqua? I don't know if that could ever, anyone would ever let it happen or not. But that really got to me, that they had a contest to name King Kuqua. So Kuqua Ditch was famous way back in time. Way, way back. Have any of you ever heard of King Kuqua? 11:25 is the time. What else have I heard? I've heard so many stories, but Phil Reed's book. Now, Phil Reed, I gave a talk on that famous murder to the club that Phil Reed belonged to, and it got his interest. So he started doing research on that story and got all the details. And put it in a book. 11:25 is the time, and the book is hard to believe that anything like that would have ever happened in Marion. Not the murder, you know, that happens every now and then, but the quest for punishment to whoever killed that lady. Now, that lady had a daughter, and who was all crippled up badly, and she was staying at East Lawn Manor, the county home, and I used to do birthday parties out there once a month, and we had the cake and ice cream supplied to us, and I would pass it out, and sometimes I would sing, and at other times, he's probably listening right now. His wife played the piano, and we would all sing. And here, this very crippled lady would be wheeled out, and her sisters were generally there once a month with her. Now, the sisters were actually stepsisters, because after her mother was killed or murdered, why, her dad eventually remarried, and these girls that used to take care of and pay attention to their real sister, they would always come out to the birthday parties. But I wasn't sure at first that this crippled lady, her name was Scranton, that she was the one, the regular daughter of the lady that was killed. So, you know me, I asked her one day at one of the birthday parties, and I said, "Is your mother okay?" She said, "Oh no, my mother was killed." So then I knew that this was the one. And what a story! But now here's the ironic thing. She brought out with her this one time a scrapbook. And even though, I had often wondered if she really was the daughter of Mrs. Scranton that was murdered in Marion. And so one day she brought out a scrapbook. And she said, wanted me to look at it. And I opened it up. And everything that had ever been published about me in the Star or wherever was in her scrapbook. She had been keeping track of everything I ever did through that scrapbook. And that's so ironic because at first I wasn't sure who she was. But that was something. I'll never forget, all these stories. And then at East Lawn Manor, there was a man, he always said, Charlie, can I have the ice cream first? And I'd give him his ice cream, and he had graduated out of the place on the hill east of Columbus, the insane asylum, as they called them then. They would put him up against the wall and attach electric wires to him and shake him up for, I don't know how long they had the electric on. It sounded to me like it was 110 volts. Could have been that. It had killed him. But anyhow, he said they would do that every other day or so, would charge him with electricity to try to straighten his brain out. We're going to break here. I'll tell you more after we come back here on
Charlie, yes. Rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. We got about 29 minutes to go in this program. Then at 12:15, Scott and myself will be entertaining you till 1 o'clock today. And the subject, well, we don't know. We never know until we get on the air, which I like. Okay, so now let's see. We're talking about the lady whose mother was murdered in 1919. You'll find her grave in St. Mary's Cemetery. It was Mrs. Her last name. Now I got myself confused. But anyhow, she was murdered in 1919 after attending a funeral in Bucyrus of a relative of mine. It is strange. She had just gotten off the interurban, which would have been, they stopped running in 1931. She was on the Columbus, Marion, and Bucyrus streetcar when she got off. And I don't know how long she had walked before she was murdered. Okay. Do you know any good stories? Anything that's happened that we don't know anything about? There's a lot of things that have happened in Marion over the years. And a lot of interesting things, a lot of good things, as well as some not so good things. But I noticed there's been a lot of stories about the mafia or whatever being an origination thing in Marion, which is not true, really, even though there have been books written about it. The people. Now, here's what it was all about. There usually was, fruit stands or vegetable stands operated by Italian immigrants, 9 times out of 10. Even today, you will find trucks delivering food to restaurants. I'm thinking right now, Carlini and Sons, Italians, you know, and the Big Banana out here that used to be on North Main Street. Remember, I used to advertise for them. They were Italian people too. So Italians were generally in the vegetable business. Well, in Delaware, the Brunos were in the banana distribution business, and so it goes. But the story has it that, well, and it happened, but not necessarily originating here. These Italian merchants had to pay so much money to exist. You know, it was called what's that term? They were, and if they didn't pay up, they were soon put out of business by some of their. Here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
I can remember my mom used to tell me that they used to call Marion the Little Chicago.
Yeah, they called Bucyrus the Little Chicago, too.
Oh.
But you know where it was? Lima.
No.
Lima.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was the center of all this mafia business, was Lima.
Hmm.
Yep, but it sounds colorful, though, to say Marion.
Definitely.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thanks for your call. And if the merchants didn't pay up, they were put out of business, or, you know, threatened or harmed in some way. And some of that might be going on yet in different types of establishments. For instance, in Bucyrus, there were a couple of places that burned, and one of the places was burned conventionally, and so it disappeared from existence, and another was burned very technical. The fire department told me that it was burned down, apparently using some modern chemicals or whatever, and burned this other bar down. And of course it was rebuilt, and are they still paying to stay in business? Are they still paying the mafia, or whatever they call that organization, to stay in business? Now there's another story about, you remember Gracie out east of town on Route 98? They claim that her house was brought down because she didn't pay the mafia. So there's all these stories, you know, and they're kind of interesting. But all these payments that people had to make just to stay in business. Wow. But it's interesting, too. Now, if you notice, the companies making deliveries to restaurants, most all of them are Italian ownership. I mentioned Carlini. Sons, and under that sign it says, and daughter too. But yeah, there's Cisco and I don't know how many others, but yeah. So that and then something that's always made me wonder too, a lot of restaurants have to go down to Columbus in the middle of the night and bid and buy vegetables and other veggies that they serve in their restaurants. Do they still do that? Is there still an auction? I'm sure there is, in Columbus, every night, overnight, or maybe not every night, but merchants would have to go down and buy their supplies for maybe a week or a few days and bid on it. Kind of interesting. It would be fun to know more about that end. You know, there are so many things in life that we never do learn the whole story. But that's one of them that's got me curious. The other thing that I mentioned the other day was the trains that go through Marion carrying garbage. And I have no way of knowing how to find out where the garbage comes from and where it ends up. Do you? I'm sure not, because it passes through Marion. It doesn't stop here, and some guy doesn't jump off there and say, "Hey, we're from New York City." I don't know where it's from. Maybe it's from Cleveland. You never know. But I'm sure the railroad knows, because they got to drop those cars off somewhere. But if any of you ever find out where that garbage goes, it just out of curiosity, it'd be, you know, interesting. I was talking to you about the molten sulfur. It's used, one of the major ingredients in the manufacture of so many different things, from steel to rubber goods to paints and you name it. Molten sulfur. Now, it has to be kept at a certain temperature. It can't go over that or it'd probably blow up. So it's very carefully maintained. And when you see those railroad cars go by and they say molten sulfur, that's exactly what they mean. If you were to touch one of those cars, it probably would be warm, at least. 11:39 is the time, and you're listening to WWGH 94.3. That's not right. It's 107.1. I'm talking about a frequency that I no longer deal with. Okay, anyone would like to call and make any comments about anything else that you know that might be interesting to other people listening? Which, you know, will bring us around eventually in another 20 minutes or so to Scott and myself. And we still don't know what we're going to be doing. But that doesn't matter. Okay, let me see if I can find something else to ask you to get somebody else registered here. Okay, here's a caller. All right. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, you're talking about flooding. I know 1959, it was a bad flood there along the side of the river basin.
I remember that because I was living four doors away from Columbia and could hardly get through the water.
Yeah, clear from all the way through to Prospect. It was, well, the ground was froze, I guess.
Yeah, it froze, and then if you stepped on it, down you went.
Yeah. I know, that was a bad one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, wait a second now. Hey, let me put your name down for the drawing for that ticket.
Mark.
You know, Bridgeville Lions Club?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what's your name?
Mark Smith.
Mark Smith. Okay, Mark. And we're going to make a drawing about 11:55, and whoever wins will get this a ticket for the Bridgeville 18th Annual Lions Club Daytona 500 Dinner and Auction.
All right, thank you.
Okay, all right, Mark Smith. Anyone else? Anyone else want to get registered to win that ticket? 7403-39944. Give me a call. Yeah, I'm down to, I've exhausted my questions for today. So now I just need callers to register for that drawing. Okay. 7403-39944. If you'd like to get registered for the drawing at 11:55 for that ticket to the Ridgedale Lions Club. Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Charlie, you were talking about Coca-Cola a little while ago.
Yes.
Dad worked there for 36 years.
Really?
He started out in the bottling plant, then later on he serviced coolers, and then he did the pre-mix machine.
Wow!
And, you know, he worked right alongside Pory Rouse. You knew Pory, didn't you?
No, I guess I didn't.
Well, Pory Rouse worked there for 50 years.
Oh my goodness! Yeah.
He got to go to Atlanta, Georgia. They gave him a plane ticket.
Wow.
Go to Atlanta, Georgia for their 100th year celebration.
Oh, he's all gone. Yeah, that's I can still see the bottles going by the window.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Boy.
I used to load trucks there when I was in high school.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that was a job.
Yeah, isn't that? and still, it remains a top secret, the exact formula for Coca-Cola.
9 natural flavors.
Yeah, and that's something.
Yeah. I got some of the original Coke at home, not the new Coke, but I got some of the original Coke in the 6.5-ounce bottles.
Wow, yeah.
When we were growing up, my brother and I, we would get a little, like a cereal bowl of popcorn and half a 6.5-ounce Coke.
Wow, yeah. Oh, boy. And still, Coke is refreshing.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, originally it was made with cocaine.
That's right. That's how it got its name, isn't it?
Dr. Pemberton, when he formulated that, and when Dad worked there, you dare not call it Coke. It was Coca-Cola.
Oh. Interesting. Well, I tell you, I like Moxie. I bet you've never had a Moxie.
I never had Moxie.
Yeah.
What's it taste like?
Well, it tastes a little bit like medicine, a little. But they sell it down at the Cracker Barrel there in Sunbury.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, so if you ever want to try some, yeah.
I'll have to look for that.
That's where I get mine.
You know, also, you're talking about bottling plants. Remember the Barks?
Oh, Barks,
bottle
yeah.
plant down on Bennett Street?
Oh, it was at Bennett Street. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there seems like
the
there
building
was...
The still there.
Yeah, there was another bottling plant. Was it on Senate or one of those streets? The building is still there.
Oh, Knee-High.
Oh, Knee-High. Okay.
Knee-high. Hey, Ted, yeah. What's the best part about being
thanks.
So well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, we're back once again, and we have 11:45 and a half right now, and still some time for you to call and talk. In fact, if you just call and want me to register you for the drawing for the Rizzio Lions Club auction on February 15th, this will give you a chicken dinner. Dinner's at 5, auction follows that, doors open at 4, and a chicken dinner is prepared by Country Caterers. Okay. Jess, good morning, caller.
Hello, Charlie. I'd like to register for the drawing.
You betcha. And your name is Lola Henry?
No, this is Pat Henry.
Oh, okay.
The phone plans are my wife's name.
Oh, okay. Pat Henry. You must be one of the Henry boys.
Yeah, I'm the only one here in Marion.
Oh, really? Okay. Now, are you retired?
Yes, sir.
Oh, where did you work?
I worked at Eaton for almost 30 years, and from there, and I left there in 2000 and went to work at Nippert in Delaware.
Wow. I had a good friend that worked out at Eaton. He was the first foreign car that I, a Volvo, and I can't remember his name now. I should.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I
okay. Very good.
I worked there from 72 until 2000.
Okay. All right. It's a shame, but they must... I wonder where they make truck axles now.
I'm not sure where they produce the axles. A lot of the gear business went to Mexico, though.
Okay, yeah. And I know there's still a pile of those axles waiting to be used behind that saw machine company.
Oh, that...
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, last time I went by there, I thought I saw some, but maybe I was just imagining it. But they took those, that basic stock, and that's what they heated up to make axles. Yeah.
Right. General Machine is not on Center Street where the Malibu used to be anymore.
Oh, is that right?
They moved in over that new building that the Shovel put in. I'm back here off of Hookaford Avenue.
No kidding. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, but they're still
in
business.
They still saw for somebody, but I don't know who.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's good. Yeah, American Malibu, boy, that's an old, old, was an old, old company. Wow. Okay, well, right. Hey, I got your name registered. Good luck.
Okay, thanks for all.
Okay, bye. All right. Anybody else? Give me a buzz. 7403-399-44. Okay, yeah. General Machine saw, I remember when they were sawing those axles to the proper dimensions for Eaton. 11:48 and a half is the time. And how are you? make sure you got your rain gear in order for the weekend. It looks like it might be a little windy, too, at the same time. But we can get by. Rain doesn't bother most everyone. It was just the ice and snow should it develop. And that would be probably later Sunday if that happens, I suppose. 11:49 is the time, and it's Friday. Wow. Time has flown this week. And what events are coming up in the Marion area for this weekend? Is there anything? I think Scott was curious about that, too. Is there anything happening in Marion this weekend that you could attend and enjoy? You know, there's a lot of weekends. There is. There's shows at the Coliseum and whatever. But do you know of anything going on this weekend? If you do, give me a call. Or if you just call me and let me register your name for the drawing for the Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR dinner and auction for Saturday, February 15th. Dinner at 5, doors open at 4, and it's out on west of Marion, just a short hop and skip on Harding Highway West, just before you get to Big Island. Okay, so I've got one ticket that we're going to make a drawing for yet today, and then next week I'll have more. 11:50 is the time, so there have been so many different industries in Marion. It's too bad, you know, the shovel being sold at one time. Although the shovel buildings are probably producing maybe more in the way of varied products and distribution than they ever were before. Yes, Ted Graham took that over and really is making something great out of it. And that's where that company is going to be located, that will be making animal feed from the larva of those flies. Now, you shouldn't worry about any flies getting loose. They're all contained. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yes.
Seems to me like I heard about back in the day, there used to be a brothel somewhere on the west end of Marion.
Oh, yeah.
What do you know about that, Charlie?
Oh, there was, yes, at least
well,
one.
Well, listen, I don't want any tickets or anything, and I'm working, so I'm going to get off here, but I'm going to tune in and listen. Tell me everything you know about it.
All right. Yeah. Does anyone want to talk about that? I remember when I worked for News Life, we did the full story on Gracie and her brothel there on 98. But at the same time, there was a lot of that going on in the west end of Marion. And, of course, it'd be hard probably for anyone to call and say just exactly where it was and what was going on. Oh, boy. Yeah, a lot of that has existed in every town that ever... Oh, but listen. There's never a town that got more publicity, good or bad, from the brothels. Now, if you go to Bucyrus, well, just a second. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Hey, where at in Marion was the King Beverage?
Oh, the King, I don't know, but Eddie Hoffman, it was his family that had the King Beverage Company, the very first in Marion.
I'm just curious. I'd like to know.
Yeah, I'll have to do some research to find that out.
Yeah. Hey, I'd be the one that brought them pop bottles down there and showed you one day when you were still out on Center Street.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Okay. So would you like to be registered for that Ridgeola?
Yeah, go ahead and stick my name in.
Okay, now what's your name again?
Lauren, L-O-R-I-N, Hershey.
Lauren Hershey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. So you'll be listening, I don't know when the cutoff date is for this, but for today, we've got quite a few registered, and so you'll be listening.
All right, I'll give it a good shot.
Okay, all right. Okay, Lauren Hershey. It's 11:54 Eastern Standard Time, and anyone else want to be registered for that Ridgedale drawing? The 18th Annual Ridgedale Lions Club Daytona 500 NASCAR Dinner and Auction. Oh, it's big time. Yeah, you'd enjoy that. That's for sure. You'd enjoy it if you had to buy a ticket. You could go out to Ted Elsie at Marion Auto Sales and buy a ticket out there for those that do not win one here. That's for sure. The dinner is at 5 with the auction following that. And, of course, you have that chicken dinner. And it's good. We thank the Ridgedale Lions Club for participating with their tickets. All right. We'll be doing that again next week. 11:55 is the time. Okay, what else is happening? Oh, the brothels. And I mentioned Bucyrus. It was infamous for its Railroad Street brothels. Oh, my goodness. But it's been well-publicized. A good friend of mine, who used to be the editor of the Telegraph Forum, he wrote at length about interesting stories about the Railroad Street brothels. Now, if you go to Bucyrus and see the mural, let me see, which mural is it, the big one on the square, and you look on one of the buildings, there's a red arrow. That red arrow points yeah, to the brothels on Railroad Street. Yeah, and a lot of people wonder, what is that red arrow for? And that's what it was for. But, oh my goodness, I don't know how long the whole thing along the railroad lasted, but quite a while. And there are so many stories connected to that. And I'm sure there is to the brothels that used to be in Marion. Yeah. And the one on Gracie's on Route 98. And I often wonder if you went back where Gracie was located with a metal detector, you might find some money. Oh, here's a caller. Yes. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
You should be doing your drawing, Charlie. You get one ticket
a day.
Oh,
good heavens. It's 11:56, isn't it?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks. All right. Bye. Yeah. Boy, I'm glad you reminded me. Okay. So, let me... Here we go. Whoops. I've got these broken down into two different areas here. Okay. Well, we're making the drawing. All right. When I get, yeah, it's 11:57. It's about time I did this, isn't it? Okay, here it is. Mark Smith. All right. Let me mark that down here. Mark Smith. And you can come, we'll be here till 1 o'clock today if you'd like to pick up your ticket. I put your name down here, and you could pick it up next week if you like too. But we'll be here till 1 o'clock today, Mark. So, yeah, boy, you hit it good today, that's for sure. 11:57 and a half is the time. So we had quite a few register for the prize, and next week we'll be doing the same thing. So keep trying. 11:58 right now, and the weather looks like it's going to be a little rainy, a little windy at times. Just don't drive in areas that you can't see the road. People do that all the time, and you often wonder, don't you? You'll see trucks and cars on television going down, and they can't see the road anywhere, and they end up driving off the road. Oh, my goodness. But it happens all the time. That's why they say, turn around and don't drown. That's their slogan the state of Ohio put out. And the state of Ohio is starting to put out other slogans on their electric signs, and they're kind of cutesy, you know, they're kind of lighthearted. And if you see any, you can remember, you might call in and let me know what they say. But yeah, they have those roadside signs, and they got somebody trying to think up of cute sayings to put on there, but they all relate to safety. Okay. Yeah, let me see. I'd better put Mark down on the big sheet here. All right. Yesterday was Jim Weir's day. Today was Mark Smith day. Okay. So you'll be listening next week. Okay. Today is the 10th already, isn't it?
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place. From legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew once went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, the nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out except a piece of bologna. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins the piece of bologna. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after seven, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The other one said, I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too. A dream that couldn't be sweeter. I've seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and oh yeah, I got so lonely. I didn't think you was coming back. So I got up and I ate the baloney.
To legendary stand-up comic Marty Allen.
You know, Marty, one day we'll flip. You can host the show.
Oh, okay.
I think it would work okay. I think you could handle that.
Well, I'd love.